Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined by Nigel Adley, one of our fine commentators, does a lot of big games for us. Tonight, though, he has the delights of San Marino versus the Seychelles. And he took us inside the mind of the jobbing commentator who can turn his hand to any match. We also chatted to Andrew Lancel, the actor. You'll remember him from The Bill. The Alan Shearer lookalike. We'll touch on that. He's in a new play called Stumped, cricket-themed. He was on good form.
Yeah.
And we also liked our chat with Mohamed Itamain, who is the man who organised a jiu-jitsu tournament in Milton Keynes and had a Hollywood star rock up and win. Plus, I think we should throw in Dougie Bearton. We looked at some of the shirts.
Yeah, that's quite
from the forthcoming World Cup. So
can
it's a packed one. Yeah,
some of the best bits don't include my intro.
I think should we leave that in? Andy
so
had a, let's just say, as you're just about to discover, Andy had quite a tough start to the show.
Know what happened?
Here it all is. This is Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs with you for until four here on TalkSport. Where this afternoon, Andy, tell us what's coming up.
Coming up over the next 3 hours, we'll look at the latest shocking revelations.
Yeah, there's a big difference between a revolution and a revelation.
From the handling of, and I read it beforehand, the Champions League final in Paris, we'll discover how Tuchel's ability is making...
Availability. You're struggling today, aren't you, with the words? They're not coming out.
Don't worry about it. I'll be all right by 4 o'clock. He's making the managerial big dogs nervous. And we'll speak to the organisation. What is wrong with me? Organiser of a jiu-jitsu tournament in Milton Keynes that had an unexpected Hollywood winner.
We're also interested in your tales of unexpected showbiz appearances, and our own Nigel Adley explains how he's preparing for tonight's historic meeting between San Marino and the Seychelles.
I can't wait. There's all this, plus we'll cast an eye over the World Cup kits, and The Bill actor and Evertonian Andrew Lancel tells us about his new cricket-themed play.
Yeah, be all right by 4 o'clock, no worries. It'll be word perfect just as he gets off air. It is. 9 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. You're just seeing the words differently, weren't you? You were just completely seeing them completely differently. Okay.
I don't know what happened there. Yeah. It's quite worrying, really.
It was a bit, you know, especially as some words could come out completely wrong.
Anyway, great news for fans going to the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the only beer available at halftime will be non-alcoholic. Mm. And when you can buy a beer, it's going to be £13 a pint.
Ah.
What a great place for a World Cup. Well done, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you, Ange, to be led by the price of a pint.
No, but, you know, I'm not typical, and I know that people do enjoy a pint at football, and not just the English and Welsh fans, all the German fans, the European fans. It honestly should never ever have been there, and it's wrecked the season. The football will be all right, but it won't be a World Cup for fans. It just won't be, you know.
Some worrying things still. I mean, a piece in the mail yesterday, you know, Herbert wrote a piece, and the guys on Breakfast were chatting about it. Yeah, still a bit to be done, I think. Still a bit of organisational stuff to be sorted out, despite what we've heard. Certainly around fans' accommodation. Talking of that, Andy, I saw a list the other day of what the American football teams charge for drinks at their stadiums. Yeah,
American prices are mad, though. All over America, for everything.
The most expensive beer at any... Is it Philadelphia? Philadelphia Eagles, $14.67, which roughly works out to £14.67. Yeah, exactly. Not far off. We're at £14.65 after the news on the pound today.
Oh, great.
The cheapest one you can find is in Atlanta. If you want a beer at the Falcons game, $6.25. So I won't give you the whole list.
Talking about that, it's funny that you should mention the dollar, because I was reading this little starburst in the Daily Star, funnily enough. A woman was shocked to find £475, brackets, $543 cash. Surely it was, it doesn't make sense, in her KFC takeaway bag when ordering a chicken sandwich at a drive-thru in Georgia in the US. So she ordered a chicken sandwich, opened it up, and there was $543 in there. Surely, what's a very odd amount?
Who knows?
To equate to $475, a much neater amount.
Maybe it did. She didn't go up and say, I'll have a family bucket and $543, did she? I mean, they only just did what she told her to do.
Children as young as six, we found out on the weekend, will be sent off if they deliberately head the ball to prevent a goal. This is a part of a new pilot scheme to prevent under-12s heading the ball, which I suppose I can see the purpose of it, but it does seem a bit draconian to try and explain to a little six-year-old why he's been sent off.
Richard has said, I hope the Chelsea squad come in and give Andy a good going over after that introduction, because obviously whenever a Chelsea player makes a mistake, he wants to chin him as they go back into the dressing room. But apparently Andy can mess that up, Richard. You know, you're absolutely right. But he's word perfect now. He'd be absolutely fine. It's just reading out loud he struggles.
Apparently,
that's why he doesn't do the news. One day we're going to have to let you do the news. Certainly the sport.
I can read out loud. I just I don't know what happened there. Yeah. Normally I'm reasonable. You know, not as bad as that.
You know, you're always a solid 4 out of 10. But you even dip below that today. Yeah. It does take some doing. Now, we are going to talk later on to the organiser of a jiu-jitsu competition in Milton Keynes, where Tom Hardy, the actor of Venom and other fine work, turned up. And
quite a serious bloke. I remember we interviewed him.
I thought we caught him on a bad day. You know, he just played that Charles Bronson part, and I think he was still in him. I think playing the part was, and he was promoting another film, and he came in. He was really intense on and off air.
Yeah, he was.
And
a
it
bit.
Was really hard work, wasn't it? But I've read stuff since, and they reckon he's a solid guy and easy to interview. Maybe it was us being useless.
Yes, yeah.
But you know, we did our best. But man, it was hard work. Anyway, he's good at jiu-jitsu, so I'm not bad mouthing him. And he won a tournament in Milton Keynes. We'll chat to the organisers. We just wondered if you've got tales of the stars unexpectedly turning up, whether it's in martial arts or elsewhere. But the last person you expected to be rocking up at this particular event was X, much as I'm sure everybody was surprised to see Tom Hardy and Milton Keynes doing a bit of jiu-jitsu. So it's in a school hall or something. So do let us know. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J. That's TSH ANDJ.
This bloke, Brian Linford from Pontefract, wrote to the Star with a very strange use of, you know, when you write down capitals, it's shouting.
Yes.
So he's written this text, but it's about football, but it's about loads of shouting. Time and time again, you see Prem managers facing relegation receive massive sit-on-the-bench payouts not linked to avoiding relegation. Bumper amounts guaranteed. Some making a career out of it. That's not Brendan Rodgers. I mean, this is where it's written.
Yeah.
Hope he pulls Leicester around. If not, I wish him every payout penny, because along with Jamie Vardy and the other professionals at the
club... Maybe he's a town crier. He's a part-time town crier. He doesn't do... He only shouts now and again. Well, I'm only part-time, yeah.
Anyway, he doesn't want Brendan to lose his job.
Okay. Well, see what happens. I think quite a lot of people may have expected that to happen already. It'd give them a big 2 weeks to find somebody else, but maybe they're keeping the faith or they don't want to pay 10 million quid in compensation. You decide. So, coming up in the first hour of the show, as we said, some more shocking revelations, incredibly shocking one, which we'll bring you very shortly. David Conn and the team on The Guardian. And we wouldn't normally do this, but the Guardian have put together this interactive timeline of what went on That evening in Paris at the Champions League final. And it is appalling, really. And the fact that the revelation we'll be bringing you and the Guardian brought you earlier on is equally as shocking. It's possibly one of the worst things we've seen. So we'll chat to Tony Evans, Liverpool fan, journalist and author, about that shortly. As we said, we'll be off to Milton Keynes for that jiu-jitsu chat. And Nigel Adley tells us how he's preparing for San Marino versus Seychelles. I mean, you are a kind of working commentator like Nigel. You'll get the good stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that's not the good stuff, but now and again, I mean, I'm sure he's looking forward to it. Very different commentary.
I've got no heart for it. I was telling you before the show, I've got no interest in these games at all.
Okay.
You know, even last week when there was no Premier League, I just couldn't watch it. I don't know. I really admire our European experts, because I couldn't watch. I was thinking Freiburg, it was Freiburg versus Mönchengladbach. I was thinking, I don't care who wins this game whatsoever, so I'm not watching it.
Okay.
Is that just me, I suppose?
What a kick. The Brian Glanville of TalkSport, Andy Jacobs. Yeah, the football.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We'll be chatting to the organiser of the jiu-jitsu tournament that had Tom Hardy amongst the entrants and indeed winners. And that's led us into some of the surprise appearances of the stars from your point of view. You've been telling us your stories. I was a 16-year-old cyclist riding a small local 10-mile trial. Bradley Wiggins turned up only 2 weeks before he won the Tour de France. He set off a minute before me and went whizzing past me after 5 minutes, meaning he took a minute off my time that quickly, says Grego. But look, you've still raced. Yeah,
he must have started after him. How could he start a minute before him and then pass him?
Oh, maybe he's got that wrong. Okay, you're on it. Now, you can't read out loud, Andy, but nothing's slipping past you today.
So,
what other ones have we had? Not really a surprise, but, well, what's the point then? But I'll read it out anyway, Connor. Still strange to go to a charity match with Fisher Athletic and the cast of EastEnders coming on to play as the other team. My dad still says he nearly ran over Dean Gaffney in the car park, unless you claim to fame. You've always got, I mean, you could say you raced Bradley Wiggins. I've raced on a number of occasions Mo Farah in the what used the in a 10K race through London that takes place
Did
in the Maybank.
You start ahead of him and then he went past you.
Yeah, that's right. Just as I was starting, he was finishing. You know, he was doing it in 25 minutes. I was taking consider. But you've raced these people, Andy. You can look back and say,
well,
like,
yeah,
you know,
he's in the same
I
race,
didn't get anywhere near him, but we were nominally in the same race. So yes, let's find out more about this event in Milton Keynes, and in which Tom Hardy, Hollywood star, appeared. Mohamed Itemane joins us now. He's the organiser of the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Open Championship. Good afternoon, Mohamed.
Good afternoon. Afternoon, guys.
Yeah, yeah, so, well, look, I mean, here we are. Your event, which probably, let's be honest, wouldn't have got the column inches it has in today's newspapers. But thanks to Tom Hardy, it did. When did you realise it was him coming? Because he entered under his name, his real name, Edward, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I knew from the beginning because, as you know, I'm an international referee. And I reffed him about 2 months ago in an event called Reorg. It's a charity working with people suffering PTSD and depression. And he came along and he was on my mat. He had his match and we had a little chit-chat with him.
Hmm.
And he said, definitely come to your camp. Then, it was a surprise. Really.
Well, fantastic. Yeah.
Did you expect him to win, though?
Because I've been doing this job for quite a long time and I've been training them for a black belt second degree, we know about fighters. And to reach a blue belt in our level, it takes you about 2 years. And you have to have a solid skill to fight in the blue belt as well. Then when I saw him fighting and I saw how he fights, he's a legitimate blue belt and I knew he's going to win.
I mean, what's his background in the sport? Is it something that's come through sort of the sort of roles he takes in films and he's trained it, or was he into the sport before he ever became an actor?
Well, personally, I don't know about... I know he loves his sport. I know he's committed to whatever he does.
Hmm.
And from what I heard, he's very committed to his training. And he's very humble because really, he's not a lot of people can do that. And seriously, to go to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you need to have a heart of a lion because it is a lot of training, at least minimum 3 times a week. And people try to squeeze you to, you know, to really make you suffer, really. And going through all that training is amazing, really.
Yeah. What does he have to do to go from a blue belt to a black belt? Is it another 2 years? How long would it take?
Oh, no, no, no. It takes more than that. It took me 10 years to get black belt.
Wow.
It shows you the level of commitment you have to get black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And the reason is there is so many aspects of the sport you need to learn. Is really you fighting yourself in the end of it, because it gets you to that feeling of going over that limit. Usually people are really afraid of fighting people. But in the end of it, you are fighting yourself. But when it comes to skills, it takes a lot to learn and takes years to really learn it.
The guy he beat, who's been quoted in the press today, Andy Leatherland, who said that he said afterwards, somehow, how nervous he'd been. He found it really nerve-wracking.
Yeah, he is. Whoever is going to step on that mat, he's going to forget he's famous. Whoever is going to step on that mat, he's going to forget he's going to be watched. Because in the end of that, you're going to fight someone who's going to try to submit you.
Yeah.
You better concentrate. You better be there. You see, then, yeah. And for, nervosity is normal. It's part of the game. You just have to handle it.
Andy said that Tom had the same intensity as his films, and he is quite an intense actor, as we know. So that's probably pretty intense. So what did he get as a prize?
Well, he got a gold medal on his category, which is a blue belt Master 3. And, of course, he'd been offered some... T-shirt and stuff, as a recognition of him coming as. But we really treated him as a normal competitor. You see, he didn't even ask. He didn't even ask his team. I text his team as well, because they never really put any pressure on us, saying we want this, we want that. He's been acting as normal and as another competitor, really. And what I was really astonished about him is he could split that stress between competing and people trying to take picture with him, then he was really proficient in both sides. When it comes to fighting, amazing. Yeah. When it comes to dealing with the people and the pictures and this, he was great. I couldn't believe it.
Wonder if it's all part of the James Bond training, Ahmed. Could be part of the old 007
good
training. You need a bit of jiu-jitsu for that, I would think.
If I can put something on the top of that, is really, he done us a big favour, because I dreamt of this competition for so long, to put Milton Keynes in the middle, to people know about Milton Keynes. Plus, all these kids around, and trying to get the kids to do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
We are helping charities in Milton Keynes, and we try to do it. And him coming down and do this competition for us, he done us a big favor, and he's going to make, he's going to show the world jiu-jitsu can help, and kids off the street.
Sure. I mean, I think, you're bound to it. Any sort of celebrity definitely. Endorsement like this, people will be reading this today or listening today and thinking, it's a sport I want to find out a bit more about. And if only a small percentage of those people want to take the sport up, it's good for the sport, isn't it?
Oh, amazing. Seriously, it's amazing for people who are just doubting themselves, because our sport really get you to really understand who you are truly and what you can achieve by doing it. And we are starting from the age of 5. We got people at the age of 75 still doing it, or who started.
Yeah.
It's amazing. There's not many sports can do that, you see? Like, maybe give an example to football, with football, maybe your time and age will be 30, 35. With us, you may start your career at 35. Make a big difference,
I'm not sure you'll get Andy out of retirement, Mahmoud. He was involved in a minor way. Tell Mahmoud what happened when you tried your hand at... Didn't your trousers fall down because you didn't do your belt
that
up?
That was judo.
Well, it's still a martial art.
I was only about 10.
Okay, what happened, Andy? Still traumatised?
Yeah, my trousers fell down because I didn't do my belt up properly. I was only a yellow belt at the time. It was most unfortunate. Scarred me for life.
Imagine,
but it's all right.
Imagine you took on Tom Hardy and Andy, and then you're standing, you're ready to go.
Go viral.
Your blue belt loosens and your kecks fall down like sort of jiu-jitsu Brian Ricks. You never live it down. He just push you over and you fall over your own feet. That's the title of the podcast today.
Okay.
Anyway, Mahmoud, it's great and good to talk to you. I'm glad it puts the sport and the event on the map.
Thank you. Thank you. Just to tell a last word, thanks to Tom Hardy for turning up. Thank you very much.
Cool. Excellent. Thank
you. And he put you, Mark, and Milton Keynes, in the middle of the country. Everybody knows about it now. Thank you. Thank you.
Good stuff. Thanks. Thanks, Mohamed. Mohamed Itamane there, the organiser of the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Open Championship. Yeah. And, of course, we call him Tom Hardy, and that's how we know him. But he's Edward Hardy. He's Ted Hardy. I mean, would he have been as... I mean, it's a good nut. I think Ted Hardy's good. But he does sound like the long-serving manager of a non-league side.
He does.
And then, of course, there were the Ted Hardy years, 1957 to 1978, when Ted stepped down and became the life president and still does the odd shift behind the bar. Good old Ted Hardy. And without Ted Hardy's in the world of football. Welcome to Wrexham. I called up. I was away last week. I didn't see the shows until yesterday evening. And a slight jumping of the shark. It'll be interesting to see what Martin Kellner makes of it. I've been really enjoying it. But they decided that show 7, I believe they're 16. I'd be interested to know what the Wrexham fans made of it, because the kind of documentary aspect has been more than enough for me. And I've not found myself thinking I could really do with a jokey half hour about the history of Wales featuring Charlotte Church.
Oh dear.
And that's what they gave us.
Really?
I mean, look, it wasn't unentertaining. Ooh. It just felt a
bit...
Is
she a Wrexham fan, Charlotte?
Well, I don't think so. I think she's... she's obviously Welsh. And she sang at the end of it. But, I mean, they did a kind of half hour, kind of quite quirky show where they're both performing, and it was like a history of Wales. And I don't know, as I said, I watched it, but I don't know what the Wrexham fans made of it. We've probably been enjoying the documentary aspect of the series. Let us know this afternoon.
They're going to charge you to go to Wales. Tourist tax. Did you read that in the paper?
Don't they already? You don't pay across the bridge at the moment?
No, tourist tax, basically.
Okay. Well, a lot of countries do that.
That should kill the tourist industry. I'll go somewhere else. I'm not paying just to go there.
Well, a lot of countries do that. Some of them charge you as you leave the country.
They're not in this country. That's ridiculous.
Oh, okay. So, blimey.
Well,
I say going to charge. I don't think they're going to charge about $3,000, Andy. It won't be very much money.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm not paying it.
Sounds
Can
like
I
a
just
scare
say
story.
That Andy? I know the bloke who
great,
lost. I was trying to get this in. The bloke who lost.
Andy
to Tom
Leatherland. Hunt, yeah.
I bought a sofa from him.
I'm sure you did.
Thank you.
It's great. I bought it 2 years ago. I haven't paid a penny yet. So there we are, Wales. What a great disappointment to you that Andy Jacobs is not going to visit.
Well, I very much enjoyed my trip to St David's. I loved it, but I wouldn't want to pay extra.
What if it was like £2? Would you spend £2 to go to a beautiful part of the world?
All right, I'll spend £2 to go to Wales.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that's very good of you. Sure, Wales is delighted to know
sure
you're back
are.
On the map. Anyway,
thrill.
Let us know what you made of that slightly out-of-whack episode of Welcome to Wrexham.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, amongst all the Premier League games and big starry fixtures, now and again, the jobbing commentator has to turn their hand to an unlikely match. And that is where our old friend Nigel Adderley, Talk Sport commentator, finds himself this evening as he commentates on San Marino versus the Seychelles. Good afternoon, Nigel.
Afternoon, guys.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm sure you do your research in the way you always do your research. But, I mean, there's probably, if you're doing a Premier League match, you know a fair bit about the players already. But you're starting from scratch with these two, I guess.
Yeah, obviously we have the surface knowledge, whether we're covering the Premier League, the EFL or Wales, as I am for TalkSport tomorrow night. But when I was offered this, I thought it would be a bit of a challenge, but it's one to enjoy. And San Marino, of course, are slightly easier to prepare for because they've been around the Nations League and the World Cup qualifiers. Of course, lost 10-0 to England last season. But the Seychelles, all of their players are amateur. They all play home-based, and they picked a purely home-based squad for this game. So trying to read up on the number of players who have basically done little in their careers outside of the Seychelles is a challenge, but it's one you embrace.
Yeah,
long way to go for the away fans.
Yeah, exactly. If the San Marino fans sing, "Is that all you bring away?" That to have a word, Nigel, on the
bad,
commentary.
Well, it's remarkable that they're here. The Seychelles players. It's a 7,000-mile trip from the Seychelles to San Marino. They only touched down in Rome late last night, less than 24 hours before the game. Even then, they had to make a journey of probably around 250 miles to get from Rome up to the northeast in San Marino. So it's remarkable that they are here, and you put that into context, they've travelled 7,000 miles. I thought we were going a long way to cover Wales in Baku during the Euros, and that was 4,000 miles, and that seemed to take an age to get to. So it's, you know, a fantastic effort from them to make this trip. Originally, the game was called off, then it was put back on at very short notice. And for these players, it is an opportunity to put themselves on the footballing map in Europe. They've never played a European team before. They are one of the lowest ranked sides in Africa, but people are talking about an opportunity for San Marino to end their 18-year wait for a victory, but it's a big night for the Seychelles as well.
It does say cancelled on night. It's definitely on, isn't it?
That was cancelled last week, wasn't it? Due to unforeseen circumstances. Do you ever find out what they were, Nigel?
Well, I think it's basically the Seychelles couldn't afford to travel.
No.
And the game was called off. And looking at the Seychelles FA Instagram page, I think FIFA have basically come up with the cash, because they always want to get the developing footballing nations to play games. It doesn't look good if games are cancelled. So I think that they've been bankrolled to play here. And also for the players to get time off as well. They're all amateur. They all have other jobs. Dave Moussard, the goalkeeper, he's a hotel pastry chef by day. And of course, that they're having to take off, you know, 4 or 5 days from work to play this game. Wow. So it's a big ask.
Who's going to make the eclairs? That's a question you can ask the listeners tonight.
There's a serious side to this, though, Nigel, in as much as a lot of people are not happy. Well, you know, when teams like San Marino get into the groups with the bigger teams and it's like 10-0, like you say.
Yeah.
And this would be a better thing, wouldn't it, for all these teams to play each other, and then the winner of that perhaps, you know, get into a qualifying situation.
It would be quite difficult for the Seychelles to have to travel to San Marino just for a match, though, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, you'd have to have it regional.
No, it would have to be regional. Obviously.
I haven't given it
a lot of thought. But
haven't given it any thought. It's a really poor idea.
No, it's not a poor idea. It's a much better idea.
The core of it, the kernel of it, the idea of this. But the idea that the Seychelles should play San Marino in some mad global draw, Nigel, is not on, is it?
But if the fixture is reversed, I'm more than happy to go there.
I agree
with Andy. I think pre-qualifying in Europe is now long overdue. I know people say, oh, it's the big nations talking about it, but the Seychelles play in pre-qualifying in Africa.
Yeah.
They've never got to the group stage of an African World Cup qualifying group, because they always lose the playoff in the first round. So why shouldn't we have something similar here? Maybe the bottom 16 nations in Europe, whoever they are, whether it's San Marino, Andorra, or anybody else, get them to play pre-qualifying. The top four go through into the main qualifying. We would have fewer walkovers, fewer 10-0s. And then those teams get better because they are playing sides of an equivalent nature, that they'll maybe express themselves a bit more because they know there's a chance they won't get hammered. There's no doubt the Nations League has done wonders for the lower-ranked teams. Maybe not San Marino, but you look at teams like Gibraltar and Andorra, they've won matches in recent years that they were never winning before. And as a result, they've improved. And there's a bit more of a feel-good factor about it. And I think we're getting to the stage now where San Marino, all right, they get the TV money from playing England. But if they're losing 10-0, what does it actually achieve for anyone? Because no one's going to take it easy on them. Because if you're England, you know if you don't beat them 10-0, the press will be on your back. So it's a no-win situation, literally, for San Marino.
That's what you meant to say, Andy, wasn't it?
That's exactly
what he meant.
I wrote to Nigel before this interview and gave
and
him
outlined that.
Thanks for the bullet points.
I'll read it as a statement on behalf of Andy. One player that Nigel sadly would have known, has missed out on commentating on, is ex-Chelsea, Andy. You'd never guess in a million years who it is. Currently, I've been at Burton Albion more recently.
What, playing for Seychelles?
It was a Chelsea youth. A couple of
really?
Games, yeah. Michael Mansion.
Oh, is he?
But he's injured, Nigel, isn't he?
Wow.
Yeah, and they've gone for a wholly home-based squad. So all of the players have travelled from the 115 islands to play. So they've all made the trip. But Michael Mansion made his debut for Seychelles at the age of 34 in the Southern African Championships back in July. Played a couple of times, so he's not been included. But they do have some links with English football, that they did once win the 2011 Indian Ocean Island Championships. And Kevin Betsy, who's now the manager of Crawley, he scored for them in the final against the Maldives. So there's the odd Seychelles international if you peek into the records who played in Europe. But it's very, very rare. The bulk of these players all play at home. and they're all amateur. So it's, you know, every game is a massive challenge. And considering they arrived in Italy less than a day before the game yesterday, if they come out and perform, it will be notable for them. But they should win, really. That they're above San Marino in the rankings. They've won games more recently. They beat Sri Lanka in a tournament last year. So yeah, they've at least got the memory of winning. But you've got to be very old to be a San Marino player and remember that.
Yeah. And they're coming off the back of two defeats to Madagascar. But that's understandable because the way Madagascar pass the ball, they like to move it.
Yeah, oh, very good.
Here's one for the kids. Nigel, enjoy the game. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Cheers, guys.
There we are. Nigel Adley, your commentator tonight for San Marino versus Seychelles. Not on Talk Sport 9. No. I think Nigel's doing the world feed. We've got live football for you tomorrow night.
I could see Nigel popping up as a pundit on Seychelles Match of the Day.
It'd be great, wouldn't it? If he was the kind of Gary Lineker of Seychelles Match of the Day, sitting there in an Hawaiian shirt. Although he's not in Hawaii, a Seychellian shirt.
I know what you mean.
Yes.
Switchwear.
If there is a pair of flip-flops, sitting there in his flip-flops. They're getting much more relaxed on Match of the Day, aren't they? So in the end, Nigel could sit in a pair of shorts,
yes,
fantastic marvelous sunglasses on, Seychelles Match of the Day.
Oh, I can see that.
We saw a Romanian Match of the Day once, didn't we? That remember years and years
three
ago.
Three men and a light.
That was it. The late 90s Romanian Match of the Day looked like a very somber chess match.
Did really?
There was no lightness. There wasn't a lot of Michael Richards style laughing in that.
Not a lot of
they took it incredibly seriously. Anyway, we move on. It's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. And actor Andrew Lancel, you'll probably remember him from The Bill for many years. A huge Evertonian, and he's in a new cricket-themed play with Stephen Tompkinson. He'll be telling us more about that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're going to talk cricket now, kind of, because there is a new play, an interesting new play, which is available on demand. It stars Stephen Tompkinson as Samuel Beckett and Andrew Lancel as Harold Pinter, both big cricket fans.
Mm.
And we'll find out more in the case of Beckett, more than just a fan, because Andrew Lancel joins us now. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're good thank you. Yeah, not realising until reading a bit more about the play that that Samuel Beckett is in Wisden, played some first-class games.
The only Nobel Prize winner to be in Wisden. Wow. They were both big cricket fans, and this play sort of imagined them watching a game of cricket and the kind of world that they create on in their plays has been created in this play. And so there's a sort of waiting for Godot feel, waiting to play, waiting to bat. Right. But also on top of this, we happened to film it at a little place called Lourdes, which sort of added to it somewhat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's available online, isn't it, this?
Yeah, from next week. I mean, it's mad, isn't it? In the old days, you did a play and that was on the theatre and you did a film and that would be at the cinema. But now there's this fantastic bridge, which really came, I think, a lot out of lockdown and the pandemic. And the original theatre really were champions of it. And now there is this kind of very nice and successful middle ground where you can watch a play at home or anywhere you want.
So
and the reactions to this so far have been great. It's a real meeting of cricket and drama. It's great.
Is it sort of shot as a play, Andrew? How does it look? Or is it sort of multi-camera thing? Is it almost like a TV production? Cameras.
It was filmed live at Lourdes, and so, you know, obviously there's a certain limitation of what you can do shot-wise, but it was filmed with three cameras as a play. I mean, you tell an actor there's going to be an audience, even if there's two people there, it's a play, you know, however you call it. But then it's very visual, it's very cerebral, it's very funny, it's quite dark, it's quite moving at times as well. And it's one of those, you know, I have to say this, of course. I mean, we're on Talk Sport. It doesn't get posher than this for me. But, you know, it is a play about cricket. But if you don't like cricket, of course, it's a great play about these two titans of literature.
Yeah. And as you said, with two very distinct styles of writing. So I imagine it will be this sort of clash between sort of Pinter's style and Beckett's style. I imagine he's quite heavy on pauses at times.
He'd have been a terrible umpire, wouldn't he, Pinter?
he would have been, that's right, a very slow hand, very slow finger.
I tell you, it's funny. You think that you guys have seen it, because there's not a lot of pausing. It does get on with it. It's very funny. But it is like a mixture of the worlds, because Stephen and I are playing these figures, these legends, these gods of drama. But we're also sort of playing them in a situation that could easily be their own plays. But take that away, the two guys watching a game of cricket and playing a game of cricket with very funny consequences.
Yeah, I think this is a compliment to you, but it says, Andrew Lancel's Pinter, voice as dark and deep as the frames of his signature spectacles, seems more body-snatching than acting. So presumably means that you really inhabited
the
character.
That's a nice review. Where did that come from?
Well, it took me a while to figure it was nice, but it's Mark Lawson.
It is nice. When you think, is it? But it is.
Yeah, no, we're all talking about that. But it is a very... I have to say, we shouldn't really talk about reviews. It's a bit actory, isn't it? But I read that one, and he totally gets it. But then you kind of go, well, everyone should make their own mind up, shouldn't they, really? But he's always been very nice about my work, and so it was nice to be featured in the Posh Guardian, and there have been some great reactions about the play, and there's quite a nice vibe about it.
So another little bit, he says at 50 minutes stumped his more limited overs than the full 5-day test. I thought that was pretty good as well.
Yeah,
I think it also says it's pitch perfect, so we'll have that.
That's on the poster. So how can we download it from next week?
Yeah, well, go on the Original Theatre online website or look at them on social medias. It's all there. You literally press a button and that's it.
Excellent. Well, right. We'll put a little link out on our Twitter feed to Original Theatre online, and people can go and check it out. Now, I think maybe the last time we spoke is when you were going to play Cluffy in the Damn United. You have a bit of a bit of previous for sporting plays, don't you?
Yeah, we were talking about that quite a lot during rehearsals, because when I did that part, I couldn't quite find out where it. I mean, I think personally, Damn United is the best sports novel ever written. I really think it is. And of course, people have seen the brilliant film, and the play was very different to the film. It was about the book. And once I couldn't quite place where I was with Brian Clough. And once I've kind of realised he was in this sort of purgatory, this kind of no man's land. And purgatory is a funny word these days, because, you know, it's always negative, isn't it? But actually, purgatory is just this kind of place between here and heaven. And so it's a place where people can contemplate and think. And that's kind of once I realized he was there. But interestingly, that word came back a bit with this play, with Stumped, that these two guys who aren't alive now in real life, but they're there watching a game of cricket. So there were some nice links and also nice reviews from Mark Lawson as well. but yeah, and so that was. I don't think it's a secret me playing that part. Might have had some reason why I ended up playing this part, but it was, that was nice hard work, and so was this one. And it should be hard. You should flex your muscles. People are paying or coming to see you. You know, it should be something that you give your all to.
You are waiting for someone to write the Alan Shearer story, of course, because you would just step straight into that. They won't even have to have a casting.
Yeah, there was a synopsis. There was a film, something written, a treatment, is that what they call it?
Yes.
About someone, an actor who couldn't get work because he looked so much like, it was called Shearer.
Right.
And he couldn't get work because of it. So he kidnapped the footballer and took over his mantle and went training and scored a fluke goal, and it all went pear shaped after that. So you never know. I'm game.
Yeah.
Well, you are finally
you're a big Evertonian. How are you feeling about life?
Better after Sunday, currently. I'd imagine.
Yeah, I would imagine. How are you feeling about the job that Frank Lampard's doing?
I think he's doing a great job. We know it's not going to be an overnight thing, and he's got the. There are always clues, I think, where you can see. There are clues, not just on the pitch, but, the vibes in the ground. I go every week and, arriving to the ground is different now. We're playing really well. We've just got to score a few more goals. And it's, the players are tweeting stuff, social media. You can see there's an atmosphere in the dressing room, which I think was lacking. But you were talking before about algorithms and stuff like that. Mm. And when will the England team be picked? And where I sit is just behind the dugout. And Ashley Cole was there when the substitutions were being made with these kind of, you can see them, the DVDs and, the screenshots and all that stuff with all these kind of lines and, it's like, wow, you can't imagine that even 10, 15 years ago. It's all changing.
That's right. Yeah, it's all data. Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about that later. But for now, Andrew, good to talk to you. We wish you well with the play and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Andrew Lansell there, and the players, we said, stumped. And so we'll put out that link. But originaltheatreonline.com has got all the details of how you can watch it, with Borough supporting Stephen Tompkinson, of course, alongside him.
Yeah. Because there was a very famous South African cricketer called Trevor Goddard. You surely must feature myself.
Trevor
Goddard.
How long were you trying to think of a cricketer?
I knew him straight away, but I just wanted to make sure he still existed.
Sounded a bit like Goddo. Bowling Goddo, as Stewie would say. Anyway, Kevin Hatchard joins us shortly. Tuchel's on the market, Andy. Were you aware of this?
Yes. Well, yeah. I'm not surprised. He's a very, very good manager,
Suddenly, yeah. Suddenly the big dogs of European management, they're all looking over their shoulders.
He's won the European Champions League, rather. Yeah. He's managed top
teams.
He's
a top manager. Not good enough for you, clearly.
Well, that's not the case, is it? It's a case of, it's like saying Poch wasn't good enough for you. These things happen.
They do.
These relationships come to an end.
They certainly do. That's right. As ours will inevitably one day, if you do any more intros like you did at 1 o'clock.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, England officially launched their World Cup kits today. And your immediate reaction, Andy? I mean, you're not aware of England kits, I would imagine, but...
Don't like the England kit at all.
You don't like the home shirt? No.
Horrendous.
Oh, okay,
so
fair enough.
Well, it's such a poor design. That isn't, with my menswear eye on, and I had a good eye for that, is not a commercial design, it isn't.
Okay, so you're saying it won't sell?
Well, it'll sell a certain percentage because it's England, but it won't sell as a leisure shirt. No, I don't think it will.
Okay. What about the away shirt? It's a bit more like the old classic. It's got a proper collar on it. It's like the old
style
Umbro
collar.
A lot
of people prefer the red England shirt anyway.
Yeah, they've gone full red. Anyway, we thought we would use it as a bit of a springboard to look at some of the other kits that have been released and look at any trends in the kits. Someone keeping a close eye on this is Dougie Beerton from Classic Football Shirts. Hi, Dougie.
Hiya, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you. Well, let's get your take on those England shirts before anything else. Are you a fan or not, as someone who's probably at this moment surrounded by football shirts?
No, I'd have to echo those sentiments. I think the home shirt's a bit of a miss. I think the kind of that blue colour, they've tried to kind of evoke the memories of Euro 96, but it gives me more the Euro 2016 vibes.
Oh,
and
that's not good.
Type of shirt you go out in the group stage in, I think. but yeah.
Stop it.
But yeah, big fan of the away. I think anything with a collar, I've got a lot of time for. And yeah, it gives me those Italian 90 feelings. So happy with the away, less so with the home.
Yeah, it's a kind of night. It's got that sort of Umbro look to it, even though it's on a Nike shirt, isn't it, really?
Yeah, very much that light, the pattern on the collar. Definitely got that same. I don't know if they had a word with Umbro and said, do you mind if we use that that style? But yeah. It's I'm glad they did. Yeah, it's got, could be a classic, I think, the away.
And it could sell more. I mean, as you say, look, they bring out two kits, but I mean, you could see, I mean, is it quite, can it happen that the away shirt often sells more than the home one?
Yeah, I think you have to consider what happens at the tournament in those shirts. So, for example, if England beat Germany in the red shirt, then everyone's going to want one. Likewise, if for some reason they don't end up wearing it, then maybe it will kind of go under the radar a bit. So, yeah, let's see what actually happens in the shirt as well.
It's interesting, stylistically, Paul makes a good point. We were talking about the shirts before you came on, and the Brazil shirt, it's a classic colour, isn't it? It's a classic thing. Why put that funny little collar with that button? What's the point of it? It's absolutely horrible.
It's a round collar, as if, you know, you would think that's all, and you look close and there's a small single button on it. Now, Nike have done it to a number of their kits, but I thought it was a thing that they'd done as a company. But then I see Puma have done the same thing, I think, on the Uruguay kit. It is obviously stylistic thing at the moment, having a kind of single button just on a round collar.
Yeah, I don't know if it's. I think it's to give it a bit of a retro feel. But yeah, I mean, I think you have to consider, obviously, they've got to kind of put a different spin on something every 2 years when they bring out the new shirt. So, but yeah, I think the Nike have definitely gone a lot more simple with their designs compared to Adidas. I think particularly on the away shirts, there's some of the more garish, like loud designs. If you look at like Argentina's away shirt with the flames, you got Mexico's away. I think the pattern is to do with a feathered serpent. I'm not going to say.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say the name of it.
Whereas the Argentina home is just a classic.
Yeah.
I mean,
really,
yeah,
you can't go wrong.
No,
you can't go wrong. But then you'd say you can't go wrong. But then, I mean, I've definitely seen people say you can't get a Holland shirt wrong. And then this one feels like it's not quite orange enough for me. And then Denmark, Hummel have been a bit controversial with their shirts, and they've done like a full, they call it red out, and the design is a bit taking the pattern from the Euro 92 when they won the tournament. So. Those two you'd say you've possibly got wrong. Portugal is maybe another team you'd think you can't get a Portugal shirt wrong. Well, Nike have done a diagonal half and half shirt that I think looks like if you cut a watermelon in half.
I quite like that, but I know what you mean. It's not very traditional.
Something a bit different. Yeah. I mean, for me, my favourite is, I mean, a bit controversial as an Englishman, but it's the Germany shirt.
Yeah,
I think I really like.
They've
central,
gone for a sort of panel down the middle, which is
cool,
a departure for them, isn't it?
Something a bit different, but it also kind of feels right. I had to look back through Germany's history to check if they'd actually done it before, because it's kind of got that retro. I can almost see Gerd Müller wearing a shirt like that, but obviously that he never did. Mm. And then I think if you put gold on black, that looks good as well. So I think the logo is being gold on black really works. So big fan of the Germany shirt. But
Belgium are quite interesting. I saw someone on Twitter describe it as like a darts player's shirt. They've gone for sort of flame sleeves, a traditional red panel, but a kind of odd. It has got the look of
I can see Kevin De Bruyne, Ali Pally.
Yeah.
Puts on a bit of weight.
it does look a bit dartsy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels a bit either darts or, yeah, Hawaiian shirt, Tony Montana in Scarface, like that type of thing.
The process of this, though, is very interesting. Presumably, the designers come up with a design, and then it has to be always approved either at club level by, I don't know who, the commercial manager or somebody, or England, the FA. Presumably, these people who are judging this aren't fashion experts. You know, they aren't. So you often wonder how these kits get approved.
Well, they're thinking, yeah, they are just thinking purely commercially, aren't they? Thinking, oh, that's one that will sell.
Yeah, I think obviously you've got to think that, but then I think that the brands are obviously trying to showcase like what they can do with fashion and, you know, trying to sell all the stuff off the back of it as well. But I mean, you have to remember these kits would have been designed a couple of years ago and approved then, really. So, but there is one team I feel sorry for though, and that's Canada. First World Cup since 1986, and no new shirts for them. The shirts that they're wearing are just Nike team wear that, you know, essentially a pub team could order them. So
they won't be there long.
And it is dominated by, obviously, as you said, Adidas and Nike, and there's some Puma in there. But a couple of outliers. There's some, of course, we're going to get some Hummel in there, as we always do, and with the Danes, and also Kappa represents. Is it Tunisia wearing Kappa?
Tunisia. Their shirt hasn't come out yet, but we're looking forward to see that. We're also looking forward to seeing Cameroon, made by a brand called One All Sports, that I've never heard of before. That shirt's not come out yet, so interesting to keep an eye on that. But yeah, like you say, 26 out of 32 teams are wearing Adidas, Nike, or Puma.
Yeah,
is the same number as 2018, but is actually less Adidas shirts this time. There was 12 teams wearing Adidas at 18, and now there's only 7. So. Yeah. A bit of change, but
are you going to the World Cup? Are you doing one of your sort of exhibitions? And
not got any plans so far. Maybe doing it a bit low key with it being Christmas and that's and a lot. As a business, we've kind of got to juggle Black Friday, Christmas rush, and a World Cup all at the same time. So I might not be able to get a jolly out of it this time.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Look, good to talk to you. Cheers, Dougie. Thanks very much.
Yeah, you too. All right.
It's classic football shirts. If you haven't seen their website, go and check it out. If you love a football shirt, that's the place to go. That's their website, and you can find what they're up to. They often have some good deals as well if you just want a different, quirky sort of football shirt. The French one's interesting. All France really do is mess with the sort of depth of the blue on the shirt.
That's true.
And if you were a fan of almost that Scotland blue they did a few years ago, they've done that again, albeit with that little single
very
button.
Commercial colour, that.
Yeah, with the sort of gold cockerel and everything. And it's nice looking kit. But anyway.
You're not going to wear it during the World Cup.
No, I'm not going to wander around. It's one of those you kind of pick up on classic football shirts for about 20 quid, play five-a-side in.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. I'll try and get the intro to you a little bit earlier tomorrow.
No, it's
Andy,
not so. Your fault.
No.
I don't know why I am. I told you I'd be all right by 10 to 4.
Yes, exactly. He's been word perfect since. So there we are. Thanks very much. Charlie with me tomorrow. We will have a birthday spread. So Andy will be popping up around 3:30. Do hope and join us. If not, podcast will be available around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.